Welcome to Just Being, the podcast on learning to just be your most authentic self while caring for these minds and bodies we call home.
Hello, beautiful beings, and thank you for joining us for our 13th episode of Just Being. I'm Kirsty.
And I'm Nikki. And today we want to talk to you about a topic that is personally very important to me, and I think so key these days, body image and self-love, and the impacts that diet culture and consumerism have had on both.
Well, we should love our bodies as the houses that our amazing, wonderful, unique beings live inside. They shouldn't be the only thing we focus on. In the same way the exterior of an actual house won't be as important as what's on the inside of it, the most interesting and valuable things about you are to be found on the inside. Society and social media put too much emphasis on what our outsides look like. But thankfully, the tide seems to be turning. I found my first grey hair last year, and while those first signs of ageing can take you by surprise, in that moment, I just reminded myself of a quote I heard years ago that stuck with me. Wrinkles mean you laughed, grey hairs mean you cared, and scars mean you've lived.
Yes, I love that quote. I've seen it before, and it's a really good kind of mantra to say to yourself if you do start kind of feeling that panic of aging or anything like that. I was actually talking to my friend about this exact thing yesterday, who's hating her increasing number of grey hairs, and she said it makes her just feel old. But it's sad that we're so scared of the natural aging process, when with that comes an increasingly strong sense of self and that value of all the amazing experiences we've got to live through. But I think that's what's key here. So much value is put on our external self, how we look, our weight, what we wear. And these are all temporary states to varying degrees. I strongly believe, and I know you do too, Kirsty, that our real value comes from who we are on the inside, which we actually have much more control over. And I think for many of us, only develops and becomes more beautiful as we grow and learn who we are and what values we want to embrace.
Why appearance over substance?
Something I will never understand is how we got to a point where appearance is valued so much more highly this day and age, especially for women. When we go on dates, one of the first things friends want to know is, are they hot? Show us a photo. When you go to a job interview, a lot of emphasis is put on that first impression, which comes entirely from how we look, what are we wearing? Magazines are filled with beautiful, slim celebrities and models over people who have made positive impacts to people on the planet. I'm not saying that celebrities don't have a positive impact, and there are some really lovely role model celebs out there. But it's sad to me that we don't see more of a mix of who we really value and put in the spotlight as a society.
Yes, it definitely is a shame how shallow society in general can be when it comes to appearances, and the media has a lot to answer for.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's pretty commonly agreed that consumerism is largely responsible for the high priority we now put on appearance. So much of marketing, again, especially when it comes for women, is meant to make you feel bad about yourself in order to spend more money. Anti-aging cream to hide your wrinkles, hair dye to cover greys, or for men it's sprays to hide hair loss. There are weight loss pills, fad diets, workout plans, all targeted to make you feel like your body isn't acceptable as it is. You even see the focus with new clothes, so younger people can keep up with the constantly shifting trends to not be singled out. And it's deemed embarrassing if people see you in the same outfit for more than one night out in a row. Both of which has really helped fast fashion to take off, which is also a negative impact. So much of the messaging we see day to day is not about embracing and loving your natural self, your natural skin, shape, aging process, but encouraging us to spend money to fit in with an unattainable standard that we see in magazines and TV adverts.
Yes, it's like another line from the Baz Luhrmann song Sunscreen. There are so many good lines in that song that I feel like I could use one in every episode. Do not read beauty magazines, they will only make you feel ugly.
Fashion brand Pretty Little Things have just started using virtual models, which actually terrifies me because they can be made to look any way the brand wants in their clothes, which I'm sure will just set an even higher standard of how young people feel they should look in the same outfit, making it actually unattainable because they're not real people. Which leads me onto this incredibly toxic diet culture that's really rife at the moment. We've just made it through January, which is a time of year where you see diet ads and fitness plans actually everywhere. I touched on this in our goal setting episode, so I won't bang on about it too much, but it is so sad to me that with New Year's resolutions, so much focus is around losing weight rather than learning a new skill, carving out more time for self-care, implementing more acts of kindness into our routines. I do really love the petition going around at the moment to get social media to change the settings so you can specify that you do not want to be served up diet ads. There is also more movement towards companies using less Photoshop and airbrushing in their ads, which is brilliant. And it's great that you're getting brands emphasising more natural and inclusive looks, like Monkey, Airy, Lucy and Yak. Something that's made me so happy recently is when Ratchet Clothing Company used their own social media follows as the models for their latest range. It is so important for teenagers in particular to see real people represented in the clothes and makeup that they buy.
Yeah, that's so true. I think there's even more pressure on teenagers nowadays than there was when we were growing up. When I was a teenager, I used to always do that classic duck face pose in every photo because I didn't like my teeth for some reason. Until I got with my first serious partner who said to me, why are you always putting that face? You've got a lovely smile. And that gave me the confidence to start smiling in photos. And now looking back, I'm so glad that I started to do that because in the original photos, I looked so moody and not my authentic self at all because of this face that I was put in. It's like the wonderful Marilyn Monroe quote, "A smile is the best makeup any girl can wear."
Ah, oh, I so remember that face. And I've got so many photos of me about the age of 16, 17, doing that exact same thing. And it's because it was a trend. It's what everyone was doing. But we were so lucky, I think, to grow up in a world where social media was only just starting to be a thing and filters didn't exist. A survey of 11 to 16 year olds in the UK by Be Real found that 79% said how they look is important to them, and over half, 52%, often worry about how they look. Further to this, a report by Girl Guarding found 45% of that same age group are often using filters to change their appearance to make themselves look better on social media, which is just heartbreaking.
Yes, filters are all about making you look like other people or a different version of you. But what is so wrong with just being the beautifully unique, authentic version of you? I feel lucky and grateful that our generation had their teenage years uninfluenced by social media filters, as they've now become the norm. And I really feel for the added pressure young people have from it nowadays. Thankfully, there is a new trend emerging on social media, thanks to people like Megan Rose Lane and Alex Light, who are embracing their natural beauty. The videos they share showing themselves with a filter and then without are a positive step in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely.
I remember one time when we used to work together in the office, and it was one day when you came in and you just happened not to have makeup on that day. And our manager and everyone on the team was like, "Oh my God, Nikki, are you okay? What's wrong?" And you were like, "No, I'm fine." And everyone kept insisting that there must be something wrong just because you hadn't put your makeup on that day. And I was really feeling for you, who was just there being your authentic self.
Yeah, why is there so much pressure for women to wear makeup every day, especially when you go into the office? I honestly really hope lockdown might change that a bit. Everyone in my team is so used to seeing me on video call without any makeup now, I don't think that that would ever happen to me again. If anything, they're more likely to have a shock if I do suddenly turn up with makeup on, which is the way I'd much rather have it. But it is so evident in that corporate environment how much value it puts on appearance. I totally understand looking professional and smart and even wearing clothes that are to a degree neutral. But how does wearing heels make someone better at their job? Did you know that some offices still have it as part of their dress code that women have to wear heels and a skirt?
That's ridiculous. I actually didn't know that. In this day and age, I really can't believe that. That's shocking. If anything, heels would make me worse at my job, as I would never get anywhere on time because I can't walk in them.
Same.
In society, people generally naturally like you more if you're dressed smartly and attractive, But why do we put so much importance on this and rank it above personality? It doesn't tell us if someone is kind, intelligent, creative or funny. As we grow older, it's our traits and experiences that we will be left with. Hopefully along with a smile and that sparkle in the eye of someone who's lived and enjoyed a full, authentic life.
As well as coming from ads, I think our values also come a great deal from our parents or upbringing. Weight and appearance is very important to both of my parents and always has been. And it took me a long time and many therapy sessions to realise the level of value I was giving it was just a learned behaviour from then, when really, it isn't that high a priority to me. I think learning your own core values is a really important self-discovery to explore. My mum recently had an accident and has actually done a fair amount of damage to herself, bless her, and wasn't allowed to move at all for quite a while due to the spinal injury. But what baffled me is that as soon as she was allowed to move her arms, she asked my dad to bring her makeup bag into the hospital so she could get back into putting it on every day. And since coming home from hospital, even though she's still quite immobile, she's very big on me going round to wash her hair and help her freshen up. She wanted me to find clothes from her wardrobe that she can get over her casts but still feel smart in. I didn't get it at all at first. I'm quite happy when camping not to take any makeup, bung my hair up in a French braid for a long weekend and not even think twice about it. And day to day, putting makeup on is something that's very much at the bottom of my routine, only if I've got any kind of spare energy or particularly feel like it. But I realised that for her, it is an important form of self-care. Feeling fresh and smart actually helps her to feel her most authentic self and more normal, and like her world hasn't just been turned upside down. And that is fine. If it is what you want to do and it makes you feel like your most authentic self, then 100% go for it. But it's about doing it for the right reasons. Looking good for yourself and because it's what makes you feel good and not for other people. I'm going to take this opportunity just to give a little shout out to my mum, who is our number one fan probably, and has been doing such a stellar job at staying upbeat and not just crawling into bed indefinitely, which many of us would have done in the situation. You've got this, Mama.
Exactly. It's all about doing it for you and not for some outside validation. Being happy and healthy on the inside is also more important than how you look on the outside. We believe that beauty starts from within, in that if you have that inner light from feeling good about who you are and knowing that you are being your authentic self, that really does shine out.
Weight and body image. According to several different sources, eating disorders have the highest mortality rates amongst psychiatric disorders, anorexia being the highest cause in adolescence. In a survey, Mental Health Org found that 46% of girls aged 13 to 19 reported that their body image caused them to worry often or always. Their survey went on to find that 37% of young people felt upset and 31% actually said they felt ashamed in relation to their body image. This makes me so incredibly sad. This week, I went to go and see Michelle Ellman and Megan Jane Crabb have a conversation as part of Michelle's new book release, For the Joy of Being Selfish. Both of them have spoken a lot about body image on their channels, and I would very much recommend checking them out. Megan was saying that the earliest time she remembers being ashamed of her body was at age 4, which is heartbreaking. Young people should not be worrying to any degree about the size of their body. Their body hasn't even finished forming yet.
Oh, that's so sad, the fact that she felt that pressure at such a young age. I think the age that people feel the pressure about their looks is getting younger and younger. But to be worrying about it at age 4 is just awful.
I remember being very ashamed of my body from such a young age. I went to an all-girls school and weight was a huge focus for everyone. Swimming lessons, even pre-puberty, were a weekly time of dread, feeling like everyone was judging you and those shared changing rooms, when people were probably far too busy, each caught up in their own insecurities, to be paying any attention to each other at all. I did a lot of physical activities in my teens and was actually very trim, although I genuinely never felt it. When I went to university, all of those weekly dance classes and swimming lessons stopped. which in combination with the standard university diet of cheat carbs like pasta, pizza, chicken Kievs, lots of potato, naturally caused me to suddenly put on a lot of weight. This is when my focus on weight became really unhealthy and progressed from a very obsessive calorie counting to bulimia. It got to the point where I was automatically feeling physically sick or throwing up every time I ate something that I felt was bad or hadn't earned the calories for. I've never really spoken about this to many people, but as I've got older, I've realised how many people went through very, very similar experiences with their body image and weight around that age or younger. At 21, I did the Special K diet, which involved having a bowl of Special K for breakfast and another bowl of Special K for lunch. And then at dinner, a very small portion was split into two, which you had early afternoon and a bit later, all to help shrink your stomach. This was a very popular diet at the time, but in no way is that a balanced meal. I was constantly hungry, I was grumpy and irritable, and I had no energy to do anything. But it worked. Weight dropped off me. So everyone was constantly telling me how great I looked and giving me all this positive affirmation. So I just kept doing it. And all the time, no matter how much weight I lost, I never felt even close enough to how I wanted to look. And I never even had that tiny glimpse of feeling better about myself because of the weight I'd lost. And this was because it was never an external issue. This is why eating disorders and diets can get so dangerous. Because people going through it are convinced that if they just get down to that right size, if they just lose a little bit more and a little bit more, they will suddenly feel great about themselves. Look in the mirror and love what they see. Feel content in their own skin. But because it's an issue coming from the inside, not the out, from low self-esteem, low self-worth, this magic moment never comes.
Yeah, counting calories or checking your weight every day is so bad. As you said, it can quickly become an obsession. I think it's really bad as well that the focus is put on how you should look rather than your health. So while you were doing that Special K diet, you were getting the physical benefits that you, or changing your appearance that you thought you wanted, but you weren't getting any of like the nutrition and the things that your body really needed to like thrive and be healthy. So I think it is important to try and focus on how you want to feel on the inside and not how you look on the outside.
Exactly. A lot of teenagers and young adults go through this weight obsession. But I think it often comes back at around our sort of age when we look in the mirror and think, I'm not the weight I was as a teenager. It's like that meme or post you often see, which is so sad because it's so true, where you're looking at photos of yourself when you were thin but remembering how fat you felt, but wishing that you were that size again when you felt fat because now you feel really fat. But the thing is that body shape changes. It's only natural. But what can help is to take that importance off how much weight you've gained or if you look different, how things aren't quite as perky. Reflect on how much you have achieved instead and grown over the last decade or two or three. The issue is how much importance to achieving or maintaining a slim, youthful body we give. Think of all the amazing experiences the person in the mirror has had compared to 16-year-old you. Right now, I'm almost at the heaviest I've ever been, but I finally have the balance where I eat well, but I also eat what I want, mostly without ever obsessing over it. Over the years, I have had several slips into that past dangerous, damaging behaviour, and it's always off the back of me going on a diet with the aim to lose a certain amount of weight, and that's when food turns from an enjoyable experience to a calorie-counting obsession. When things finally clicked for me is when I changed the target to becoming fit enough and healthy enough to do the things I wanted to do in life, and completely took it off being a certain weight. I'm on antidepressants and also have low thyroid, both of which mean I'm more likely to retain weight and my metabolism is a bit rubbish. And I do totally still have bad body image days, but I try to see them as just that, rather than letting it spiral into, I don't have the body I did when I was younger, so no one will love me, I'm not worthy of my partner or my friends, and so on and so on. I think a lot of the issue is how much focus people put on weight and that incredibly toxic concept that being slim is good and large are bad. When I was at school, I had terrible food poisoning, Like, really terrible. One of the types you have to report so the government can track into where you could have got it from. I couldn't keep anything down for 10 days, it might have been more. And when I went back to school, the first reaction from my classmates was, "Oh, you've lost weight, you're so lucky." I remember it was the same for a girl in my class who had to have surgery, which left her with her jaw wired shut for a while, so she could only eat liquids. Em Clarkson, who I follow on Instagram, recently went through the same thing and said she had the exact same reaction when she was in so much pain and she would have given anything to be able to just go to town on a McDonald's. As Kirsty said, it's terrible that we see weight loss as more positive than good health. Like when people lose weight, like Adele or Rebel Wilson, everyone says how positive it is. When we have no idea what's going on with them on the inside, are they feeling healthy? Are they happy? Why do we like people more because they are slim? It's like everyone praising me when I rapidly lost all that weight at university, when inside I just felt like this black pit of despair and so desperately unhappy, and I think I really wanted someone to recognise that. What was an amazing feeling for me is that I was at the spa yesterday and actually thought, F it, I'm going to wear a bikini for the first time in years. And I felt fine. It didn't even occur to me to let it ruin my day or to control how I was walking around or carrying myself. And at that point, it wasn't necessarily feeling that I looked hot or sexy or even necessarily confident, but knowing that there is so much more to me than my body. And that if people wanted to have opinion on how I looked, or if I had the, and I use quotes here, right to be wearing a bikini at my size, that's a reflection on them. They are entitled to their own opinion, but that I would not let it impact me or how I felt about myself in the moment as I was just going around living my life.
And the thing is, what you see in the mirror is not always what everyone else sees anyway. Eating disorders are an extreme example of that. But the less extreme side of this is not liking how you look in a photo and picking your appearance apart and focusing on everything that you think is wrong with it, while others just look at the same photo and see the beautiful you. We are our own worst critics when we should be our own best friends. If you find any negative talk coming in next time you look at a photo of yourself, stop and ask yourself, if it was your friend in that photo, would you be judging them in the same way? Would you be using the same negative words to highlight all of their flaws? If you wouldn't talk to a friend like that, don't talk to yourself like that.
As a way of helping with this, I really suggest we all try not to bang on about how great anyone looks when they lose weight. And that's for three reasons. One, you don't know the reason why they've lost weight. It could be related to health or mental health issues. Two, it implies the reverse of the compliment was true before they lost that weight. And there is every chance they might put it on again. Our weights fluctuate constantly throughout our lives. Three, it feeds into the idea that being skinnier means that you are more beautiful or of higher value.
I think one of my friends got a bit disheartened sometimes when I didn't notice if she'd lost weight since the last time I saw her. But I explained to her it was just because I didn't see the weight when I looked at her. I would notice things like how her energy was, if she was laughing or smiling more or less than last time I saw her. It just didn't register to me to focus on what her weight was at the time. And there are so many different things you can choose to compliment someone on that don't just focus on appearance. It could be, "I love how creative you are," or "That's a really intelligent way of explaining that," or "Your kindness means the world to me." One of the best compliments I've ever had was, "I love your mind." And it really took me back, as that wasn't something I'd ever been complimented on before.
I used to think my weight was so tied to my worth, but honestly, it is all about who we are as people. What's on the inside is so much more important than what's on the out. How we make those in our life feel, the impacts we have on others, what we bring to the world. I've seen a lot of accounts say it, but it is so true that your friends will never think, "I'm so glad so-and-so lost that half a stone. It's made them much more fun to spend time with." Or, "My Friday night was entirely made by how well my friend fits into her jeans now. She's a really good friend for that."
Mirror work.
So following on from how you compliment other people, how you talk to yourself is so important too. We can't have an episode called Mirror Mirror without coming back to the importance of mirror work, which we touched on in our episode Gratitude, Grounding and Giggles.
Mirror work was originally developed by inspirational teacher Louise Hay as a way of getting in touch with the inner self and to promote self-love and care. On her website, Louise described how it works. Mirror work is the most effective method I found for learning to love yourself and see the world as a safe and loving place. These affirmations are messages to your subconscious that establish habitual ways of thinking and behaving. The most powerful affirmations are those that you say out loud when you're in front of the mirror. Why? Because the mirror reflects back to you the feelings you have about yourself. It makes you immediately aware of where you are resisting and where you are open and flowing. It clearly shows you what thoughts you will need to change if you want to have a joyous, fulfilling life. She goes on to say, as you learn to do mirror work, you will become much more aware of the words you say and the things you do. You will learn to take care of yourself on a deeper level than you ever have done before. When something good happens in your life, you can go to the mirror and say, thank you, that's terrific, thank you for doing this. And if something bad happens to you, you can go to the mirror and say, okay, I love you, this thing just happened, will pass, but I love you and that's forever. For most of us, sitting in front of a mirror and facing ourselves is difficult at first, so we call this process mirror work. But as you continue, you become less self-critical and the work turns into mirror play. Very soon, your mirror becomes your companion, a dear friend instead of an enemy.
That's a really good description by Louise Hay. She's put it really well. And I think mirror work is also about paying attention to the way you talk to yourself, which is so important. Talk to yourself as you talk to your best friend. You spend the most time with that voice inside your head. If it's always putting you down, criticising you, telling you you're worthless, it is going to have such an impact on your confidence and sense of self-worth.
And if you don't feel ready to jump straight into the affirmations, or you're not open to receiving a compliment from yourself just yet, I heard a good tip from Mel Robbins on how you can start to build a relationship with yourself. Start by just high-fiving yourself in the mirror every morning. While you may feel some resistance to this, stick with it. Eventually, you'll be glad to see that friend in the mirror each morning and might even look forward to it as you're getting out of bed. Mel explains that high-fiving is wired into our subconscious as a positive thing, as it's what we do to celebrate with other people. So why not learn to celebrate yourself with yourself?
I love that. And if you do want to use words, you don't have to go straight for that. I love myself. That can feel really hard, particularly if you've never done something like mirror work before and your self-esteem's a little bit low. You can try starting with, I like myself. Or even just find one thing you like about yourself, like your smile, and go from there. The stronger your sense of self and self-worth, the less what you see in the mirror will impact you. Everyone has a day where they don't love or even like what they see. Your hair just won't cooperate, you've got a bad skin flare-up, but that doesn't impact your value as a person. That's the important thing to realise.
Exactly. So rather than focusing on that new grey hair, next time you're in front of the mirror and choosing to find something you do like about yourself, you can also choose an affirmation that resonates with you to go along with this. You could focus on one each day or for the full week if you feel like it's something you really need to hear. And say out loud, or if you don't feel comfortable with that straight away, you could start off by saying it in your head. But the important part is to make eye contact with yourself in the mirror as you're saying this. So your affirmation could be, I am beautiful inside and out. I am worthy of being loved. Or I bring joy to the people in my life. Keeping the affirmation as simple as possible so that it's something that you can remember and repeat easily is best. And the more often you do this each day, the quicker your subconscious will start to believe it. It might feel cringy or even egotistical to start with, but there's nothing wrong with appreciating yourself. We should learn to love ourselves enough to accept compliments as freely as we give them.
That's it. We find it so easy to tell our friends when they look really great when we go out or they do something amazing. Why do we find it so hard to say the same things to ourselves?
Yes, exactly that. And another thing you could do to help you get into the habit of doing this is take the affirmation and write it on a post-it note or a bit of paper and stick it on the mirror so that it acts as a reminder to do this each day.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a good tip. And you could even be as simple as writing, I am enough or I am capable. And seeing that every day will make such a difference of what the energy you take with you into your day. Growing up, my parents often said, if you could see how you looked, you wouldn't do that. A phrase that was really common for parents of our generation to say. But I do think we're starting to see a bit of a shift. I want our children to be able to do the things that bring them joy and passion, regardless of how they look. I want them to wear things because it makes them feel happy and like the most authentic version of themselves, not because it is the most slimming thing to wear. To laugh out loud without worrying that people will judge their teeth or their smile. To move their bodies in whatever way brings them the most joy, even if they run like Phoebe Buffay. If I could ask people to take one thing away from this episode, it would be that appearance should never stop you from living your life exactly the way you want to. And it's making me smile because Kirsty is nodding away next to me.
Thank you for listening. If you want to ask us about anything we've discussed today or share your own experiences with self-image, do reach out to us on social media at Colour Me Happy with two E's in me and Holistic Kirsty, one word with no C, or on our show Instagram, justbeing_podcast. Or you can also email us at justbeing_podcast@hotmail.com.
I am so passionate about this topic, so please do feel you can come and say hello if you do need to talk about it or you've been through anything similar. If you're enjoying our content, your support would mean the world. You can find our Buy Us a Coffee linked to all of our social media channels. And don't forget, we still have the Ratchet Clothing Company discount available for you beautiful beings. Just add, just being 10, that's no spaces and the number 10, at checkout for 10% off everything on their store.
Goodbye, lovely listeners, and until next time, remember to just embrace your inner beauty.
Join us next week when we'll be talking about kindness. This week is World Kindness Day, and we'd love you to write in to us with any acts of kindness you have done or have had done for you recently.